This is the second lecture in this series, The History of Al-Andalus, The History of Muslims in Al-Andalus. And we said last time that the Muslims moved or conquered Al-Andalus in year, or the Muslims stayed in Al-Andalus from year 92 Hijri at 711 until year of 897, that is 1492. We said a little over 800 years, the Muslims stayed in Al-Andalus. Al-Andalus, which is known today as Spain and Portugal, the Muslims, or that land, and more as we will see, was ruled by the Sharia and by the Deen of Allah Azza wa Jal for many, many years. Whereas Muslims today go there for other than the Deen of Allah. We said Musa ibn Nusayr, rahimahullah ta'ala, was the leader of the Muslim armies in Africa, in North Africa, and he finished conquering the Northern Africa, Maghrib al-Arabi, and he reached all the way to Morocco, and they reached the Atlantic Ocean. And we said whole North Africa fell under the rulings of the Muslims, except one place, and that was the port of Sebta, or Ceuta.
Hey. Go back. Go to your mom. She's calling you.
Okay. North of Sebta. Or port of Sebta, which is the port. And you can see Sebta is right here. This is in Arabic. I don't like the quality of the print. Salam. This is Sebta here. So you're not getting paid. Okay? This is Sebta. So whole North Africa fell under the Islamic ruling. Okay? Except this port here. Okay? This is Sebta. On the other side, as we see Jabal Tariq, on the other side is Tanja. As we said, Tanja or Tangier, in English, that was with the Muslims. The only place is right here, Sebta. This is an important location. And still until today, it's occupied by Spain. So, Musa ibn Nusayr, rahimahullah, after they took over North Africa, except Sebta, he put Tariq ibn Ziyad. We talked about Tariq ibn Ziyad ibn al-Barbar. He put him as wali, okay, and as the governor of Tanja. Because of the seriousness of the location. It's very strategic location. Very much, if you're open from here, and if you're open all the way, then it's easy. Any army can come in and go into the North Africa where Muslims are. We also mentioned that when Muslims came to Al-Andalus, or Al-Andalus here, this is Al-Andalus, was the people who were living there were what's called Al-Qut, Visigoth people, Christian, European people. And we also said, the year 92, when it was conquered, it was the Umayyad. The Umayyad dynasty was ruling the Muslim world at the time of Abd al-Malik, al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik. Okay. Now, after they finished conquering the north of Africa, all the way until they reached Mauritania, they hit the Atlantic Ocean. And as we said, the message, it's hot here, said the message, the Muslims' mission was, and they did not care, as we will see, they weren't worried about gaining more lands and more power and more money and more wealth. They were concerned about spreading the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, about bringing the deen of Allah to the people. And we will see in the conquer of Al-Andalus, that was very clear. That they didn't bother about what they're going to find there and how much wealth and how much treasures and all that. even though these places were rich. But you will see, in comparison, when the non-Muslims or the Christians took over the Andalus, as we will see toward the end, and how they spread havoc and corruption and robbed people and all that. Now, for the Muslims to go from here, this is North Africa here, huh? For the Muslims to go from here to here, they have to pass by this strait, Madiyah Jabal Tariq, Gibraltar Strait. They have to go through here to this land. Now, for Muslims to come from this part of the world to a new part of the world, new continent, there are many challenges. Okay? Many challenges. It's not going to be easy. It's not, let's get in the car and just drive across the ocean to conquer. There are many things and many challenges, as we will see, and they had to deal with before going. The distance, this distance here between the land to the land on the both sides of the strait is about 13 kilometers. Okay? That's about 8 miles. Okay? Now that requires some ships. It's not easy to cross that without big ships. So الأسطول البحري or the marine fleet was very important. And it's very important to have many ships to transfer or transport the soldiers. Another challenge was جزر البليار, which is right here. These islands, the Liyarik Islands, those were under with the Christians. So for the Muslims to go into this land, they will be exposed from the east. Okay? So it's very important to figure out how to deal with those small islands right here in the Mediterranean before they can move in. Again, Mina' Sabta, the port of Sabta or Ceuta, that is under the Christians. Okay? And that is dangerous. Because many things could happen. They could deal, the army could be in there, and they could attack from behind the Christians in the land in Europe could attack from the front. So it's very important, very crucial things. What happened in Sabta? The king of Sabta was a man named Julian. Okay? Julian. In this land was one of his friends, the king. And his name was Gicha or Aquila. They were two good friends. Aquila was killed by another man called Ludriq. The Arabs call him Ludriq, which is Rodriguez. Okay? In Spanish or in English. In Latin, his name was Rodrigo. Rodrigo revolted against Gisha and took over. Gisha was the friend of the king of Sud, Julian. Okay? So there are many things, many issues going on. In other words, also this Rodrigo was very monstrous. And he was oppressing his people too much. So the people hated him. So you can start formulating an idea what's happening India. So there was supposed to find a solution for this Ceuta or Sabta. The forces of the Muslims that came, now it's a lot of Muslims, or the Berber in North Africa, knew in Islam. So you cannot rely on them to fight. And a lot of the soldiers or the Muslim armies that came from the east, from the peninsula, Sham, Egypt, all that, are not very high in numbers, very few. So that's also an issue that will face Musa ibn Nusayr, rahimahullah, when he deals with this conquer. Also, the Christians in this land, well prepared. They have many fortresses, many castles, yani too much weapons. They're just comfortable in there. Add to all that, the land is almost unknown to the Muslims. They don't know how the land is. Okay? The nature of the land. They don't know mountainous, wari, whatever it is. Okay? So all these things give you the impression that it's impossible. So how are you going to go in a land you have no idea about it? How are you going to fight? How are you going to prepare your armies? How are you going to choose the right location? So all these challenges Musa ibn Nusayr had to solve before he can move in. Okay? Without being well prepared, he's just throwing his armies into tahluka and into destruction. So how did he deal with all these issues and how did he solve these problems? First, he started building ports. Okay? He started building ports. Because again, this part of the Jabal Tariq is occupied by the Christians. So it's very hard to use it and very dangerous. So he started building ports. One of the ports he built, very big port, is port fi Madinat al-Qayrawan. Tunes. He built a port in there for the Muslims. Al-Qayrawan Harim was built by Musa Aqba ibn Nafi' radiallahu anhu in the year 50 Hijri. So he built Mina al-Qayrawan fi Madinat al-Qayrawan. The other thing, in Tunis, Qayrawan, Tunis used to be called Qayrawan. So when we say Qayrawan, doesn't mean only Qayrawan you know. Okay, so don't be limited, huh? Mahdiya. Okay, Mahdiya, yeah. Okay? So, add to that, now the Berber, that who became Muslims, who are the inhabitants of these lands, he started teaching them the deen. And he started bringing the ulama, and making the halaqat al-ilm, and very intensive education, Islamic education to the people, until they fell in love with this deen, and until they related to this deen, and suddenly your worst enemies become your strongest point. Now the Muslim armies in this region become mainly from al-Barbar. Okay? From al-Barbar. And we said before, when we said al-Barbar, a lot of people, especially Arabs, think barbaric and this and savage. We said actually, some of the historians said Berber come from Sam, which is European of origin, blind and all that. So very important to keep that on mind. So in a period of 5 to 6 years, Musa ibn Nusayr, rahimahullah, out of this intensive Islamic teaching and da'wah, he turned the hearts of these people to become the armies of Islam. And as I said last time, Muslims come into places, and that's what happened to the people. They get enlightened. They find the truth. Whereas you find those people coming into the Muslim lands, and they spend hundreds of years, and they cannot change it. As we gave the example last time of Jazair or Algeria, was occupied by the French for 130 years. Okay? 130 years. And when they left, the Muslims were stronger than when they came. هذا something to tell you about this deen. Musa ibn Nusayr, as I said, put Tariq ibn Ziyad in charge of the armies that gonna conquer Al-Andalus. He put Tariq ibn Ziyad, and Tariq ibn Ziyad, Barbari, from Al-Barbar. So most of your army from Al-Barbar, and then the leader is from Al-Barbar. And that's to show that Islam is not a religion of prejudice, and Islam is not a religious, or a religion that can differentiate, and this is Arabs, and this is Allah. The most qualified is the one who leads, and at that point was Tariq ibn Ziyad. So this deen, global deen, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, for the mundane. Musa ibn Nusayr, to deal with the issue of the islands, he conquered them. Okay? He conquered the islands, the Balearic Islands, and they became under his under the Khilafah al-Umayyah. So now the Muslims are protected in their back from the east, in those islands, as you see in the Mutawassit or the Mediterranean. That's very much what he was able to do. But what's about the other problems? Okay, we have few issues. One of the issues is Sept. Okay, the Christians in charge of them, with Julian, as you remember. Another issue that takes years and years, even until today, when they want to build a submarine, That take years. And they buy the submarine, and then they receive it years after. Okay? And all these bawarij and big carriers and all that. Okay? So to wait is going to take too much or too long. So yeah, he started building ports. Yes, he started building his marine power and fleet, but still it's going to take long. So these are some issues that the Muslim... Another issue is the geography, okay, of the land of Al-Andalus. Muslims don't know about it. They don't know what it looks like. They don't know how to prepare. So all these things must be solved also, in addition to the problems or the issues that he addressed. Allah Azza wa Jal, when people are sincere, opens doors for them. Sometimes we get stuck only with the means. The means, al-asbab, we think there are things we must do. For anything to happen, we must do something. Not necessary. Okay? But you always have to try your best. Be sincere. If your intention is good, and you're doing what you're supposed to do, and there are things beyond your capacity, Allah Azza wa Jal, because of this intention, make them happen. You, that is where it tawakkul. Tawakkul ala Allah Azza wa Jal. To believe down in your heart, completely, that Allah Azza wa Jal takes care of you. So, you see how the Musa ibn Nusayr, rahimahullah, and the Muslims try their best. With what they can do, they try it. And someone might ask, why they didn't conquer Ceuta or Septa? Well, humma, they have a bigger goal, and that is the land of Al-Andalus. They don't want to exploit themselves or destroy their armies or their power before they go to that land. So it's very important for Muslims to understand that every time you think the door is closed, Allah Azza wa Jal opens another door. But you have to trust Allah Azza. That's the bottom line. You have to trust. And this Al-Andalus history will teach us that. It will teach us that Muslims were not as strong, and they were victorious because they trusted Allah. And Muslims were more powerful and double and triple of the enemies, and they relied on themselves and they lost. We will see all that in the history of Al-Andalus. So that is what we... So now we tried, we built the ports, we conquered the Balearic Islands, we taught the people the religion, we got the numbers. What's about the rest of the problems? Allah Azza wa Jal will take care of it. يقول الله عز وجل وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. It's not you who throws, Allah Azza wa Jal throws. It's not you who brings victory. It's not us. It's Allah Azza wa Jal. So in this whole plans, a letter comes from Julian to Tariq ibn Ziyad. Remember Julian? Who's Julian? Said. The Christians, who lives in Septa, who's the king of Septa, and who has issues with the king of Al-Andalus. Al-Andalus, the king was his name what? Rodri, yes. The one who killed the friend of Julian. Rodri, or Ledri. So, he sends a letter to Tariq ibn Ziyad. He offers him things, okay? He offers Tariq ibn Ziyad things, and he asks for things. I'll give you this, you give me that, okay? Now, before that, Aqila, or Gisha, who was the king of Al-Andalus, was, يعني, as usual, these kings, people are so hungry, and the king is so rich. He had over 3,000 properties, gardens, they used to call him, 3,000 hadiq, or jinn. And he had many kids and all that. Rodrigue managed to get rid of all these, of the children of Aqila as well. So what's the letter of Julian to Tariq ibn Ziyad? He asks, or he offers, he will give him, he will put the port of Septa under his use. He will give it to him. He will surrender. This. That's one of the problems that was facing them. He will give it to him. Okay? He can use it. Alright? Second, he will put the marine fleet, Dustul al-Bahri, that belongs to Septa or Suta under the Muslim armies. He will give him all the ships that يعني borrow them. So he can use them in conquering lenders. That's another issue being solved. Third, he gonna give him complete view of the land of lenders. The geography and whatever he needs to know about, the conditions in that land. And these are the other three problems that the Muslims needed to know, or the armies, before they can conquer that land. What did he want? He wanted the 3,000 gardens. So, he said, I'll give you my port, I'll give you my stool, I'll give you my ships, I'll give you knowledge and about the land, you give me the 3,000 gardens that Rodrigue took from Gucci or Gich. But the Muslims don't fight for money, and they don't care about properties. And this was a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal to the Muslims and to Tariq ibn Ziyad, where he was very happy about it, and he took the letter and he ran to Musa ibn Nusayr in Qayrawan. He showed him the letter, and it was exciting, so they sent the letter to Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, Khalifa, the Umawi, and he approved. He approved that now they start marching toward Bilal al-Andalus. Before Khalifa Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan, when he agreed, he put a condition. He said, you send small sariya, or small expedition, small group of soldiers, to Al-Andalus. Okay? Let them check the land, because this Julian could be lying. And we will see throughout this history how the Christians never respected their promises, those kings. From the beginning until the end, the very end, we will see what happened. So Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan wanted to make sure that these issues, that he's not lying and he's not making it as a trap for the Muslims. So he sends, Musa ibn Nusayr sends Sariya, or a small expedition, to Al-Andalus with a man named in leadership Tarif ibn Malik, or Tarif ibn Malluk. Okay? And he was from the Berber as well. So those 500 people go there in 91 Hijri, 710 Milad, 91 Hijri. They check the land, they study the area, they get their information, they get the data, and they come back to Musa ibn Nusayr, and to Tariq ibn Ziyad. After their return, Musa ibn Nusayr sits for one whole year, preparing more. Now he got more information, so he started preparing the armies, he started preparing the plans and all that, and in year 92, he orders for the Muslim armies to cross the ocean and go to Al-Andalus. The army started crossing Madiq Jabal Tariq fi Sha'ban, 92. Sha'ban, 92, Hijri, they started crossing the strait, and they landed, or they stayed in a mountain called, later was known as Jabal Tariq, okay? Gibraltar, Jabal Tariq. That is, now they're here, okay? Jabal Tariq. Now, of course, this area is under the supervision of Morocco, and Spain, and England. Okay. How many people crossed with the strait or the ocean with Tariq ibn Ziyad? He was, or was with him, 7,000 soldiers. 7,000. So Tariq ibn Ziyad's army was 7,000 soldiers or Muslims gonna face Europe. They're gonna face the armies of Europe and the armies of Al-Andalus. Obviously, they cross the ocean, they're gonna face the coast guard, the forces, the Qut, or the Gothic forces in the south, small, so they had an encounter with them, and they, bidhin Allah Azza wa Jal, they defeated them. The center, okay, the capital of all this land at that time was Toledo, here, Toledo, okay? Toledo was the capital of Al-Andalus. That's where Rodrigo or Rodrigue was staying, and next to Madrid or Madrid. Huh? So the Muslims go in here, Harith ibn Ziyad, they defeat the coast guards. Huh? A letter goes straight to Tulayfa. Huh? Save us. The letter states that those armies sent. They said, أَدْرِكْنَا يَا لُدْرِيقَ فَقَدْ نَزَلَ عَلَيْنَا قَوْمٌ لَا نَدْرِي أَهُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ أَمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ. Send a letter to Ludrik, to Rodrigo, huh, the king. They tell him, huh, save us. We are facing people, we don't know where they came from. Are they from earth or from heavens? Why? Why they said that? Whom first when they encountered, they offered them an Islam. And we're not coming to kill you. We invite you to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. No, our mission is not to shed blood. We're not concerned about that. We want to save you. Huh? We're not concerned about killing you. We want to save you. We will see that the armies in this continent, huh, were savage, as we talked before, huh, about the Vandals. They were savage. Okay? In the Middle Ages of Europe. They didn't know all that. They come to a town, they'll kill everyone, they rape every woman, they'll kidnap the children, the women. They steal everything and they move. Us. They'll burn everything before they do. Okay? So now you have people, okay? And you're facing them, and they're offering you Islam. And obviously, they said you don't want to pay, then al-jizya. Before we find, there's al-jizya, and we'll talk about al-jizya. Then they said, those people, قَوَّمُونَ فِي اللَّيْلِ, they pray at night, and there are soldiers in the day. And it's not, armies usually sukur wa harbada and drinking and parties and women and dancing and music. But they see those people, praying during the night for sanun fin nahar. They don't care about the dunya. When Ludriq, so they send that letter to Ludriq. Of course, Ludriq, the arrogant, got angry. Being attacked. So he prepares an army of 100,000 soldiers. 100,000. Yeah. 100,000 soldiers, and he starts marching toward the south. So Tariq has 7,000 people with him, Tariq ibn Ziyad. So when he heard the news of Ludriq coming with 100,000, he sends a message to Musa ibn Nusayr. He wants medid. He wants support, more numbers, So Musa ibn Nusayr sends him another 5,000. So now you have 12,000, of Muslims against 100,000 soldiers. Of course, those those 5,000 he sent him are in the leader will be Tarif ibn Malik or Madluk that was in the first expedition to the land of Al-Andalus. Tariq ibn Ziyad, while he's waiting for all that, he starts for the armies to come, he starts checking the area. Okay? He starts checking the area. Where he gonna face them? He wants to find a very critical, very pivotal location. So he chooses an area right here. Okay? An area right here. Yani, it's Wadi called Wadi Birbat. Okay? Wadi Birba. In a state or wilaya in Spain called Cadiz. Okay? Arabi Qadis. Cadiz or whatever in Spanish. And this Wadi Birba or Wadi Lakka or Lebka is right here. In this area. Okay? Right here. So he chooses a location like Wadi, a valley in there. He chooses there and he settles and he waits for the Ludriq's and the Andalusi's armies to come and face him. Why he chose that area? That area was very strategic. The south of the area was mountains. So now he's protected from the back. The east of the area, mountains as well. The west of the area, there's a big lake. Okay? So really the only area that they can be attacked from is the north. And that's obviously where the army is coming from. But he's not worried in the back, because until you control this land, you can send your ships from around. Okay? This Julian could betray you. Many things could happen. So now he chose an area where he's protected from the three sides, especially he's facing an army that is about 9 times his number. So he put Tarif to protect the south side, and the north was open for the armies to come. Roderick comes from the north with his 100,000 soldiers. They come loaded with ropes. One of the things they had in abundance were ropes. And the reason for that, because they were planning to tie the Muslim armies and take them back as slaves. That's how arrogant these people are. Okay? So they come with, and we will see in the future, with other armies or other battles with the Muslims, they used to bring the Jews. The Christians will bring the Jews. Those Jews are businessmen who had too much money to buy the slaves from the soldiers. Okay? Yeah, since then they had money. But anyway. So those come with ropes, Bighal Muhammada bil Hibal, just to tie to chain the Muslims and take them back as they're coming confident that they're gonna be victorious. And of course Ludriq, as it's the habit, he comes sitting on a throne or a bed made out of gold, carried on some mules, and he's wearing his golden crown. Ma'raka, the battle, takes place in 28 Ramadan, 798 Hijri. Takes place in 28th of Ramadan, the year 92 Hijri. Okay? The year 92 Hijri. Okay? So remember, they came to Al-Andalus in Sha'ban. So the following month, the battle takes place in 28 Ramadan. Okay? So now you compare the Ramadans of the Muslims then and the Ramadans of the Muslims today. Okay? Akal, Mara'a. كالغنم مسرحيات ومسلسلات وفوازير وموفيز و that's what the Muslims do in Ramadan, especially in the Arab world. Ramadan is the best month for Ahl al-Fusq wal-Fujr. People of corruption and actors and this and that, they prepare for Ramadan 6 months before. 6 months. But not for the ibadah and for fasting. They prepare for their movies and they have to take people away from the masajid and from the deen of Allah. So this battle takes place in Ramadan. Hadani, Allah Azza wa Jal says, Hadani khasmani ikhtasamu fi rabbihim. Here, you have two armies facing each other. One army wants the dunya, and one army wants the akhirah. One army was brought by force, because they didn't like Ludriq or Roderick. And one army came voluntarily. One army wants the dunya and one army wants to spread the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. One army comes with the shaytan and one army comes with the rahmah. Allah Azza wa Jal with the believers. The battle stayed or lasted for 8 days. The battle lasted for 8 days. Just to share, this ma'raka is known in history for the Arabs or in the Arabic text وادي معركة وادي لك or وادي برباط. وادي برباط. These names important to us to know. قل سعد بن أبي وقاص. يعني the first thing we would teach our children. غزوات. The battles. One of the things they used to start with teaching their children. The battles. That's the honor of Islam. We are people. If we're not strong, everyone gonna step on us. That's the reality. If we're not strong. Other nations, they're not strong. They're alone. They're left alone. Because they have nothing. They have nothing to threaten the powerful people. Islam does. That's why if you're weak, you get stepped on. And that's exactly what's happening in the Muslim world. So this is Wadi Lakka or Mawqa'at Wadi Barbar. In Spanish, the battle of Guadalait. Or Guadalait. Because the valley here, that is what it's called in there. Also it has another name, Rio Barbeit. I guess Rio is Wadi. Rio, the battle of the Rio Barbeit. Also another name, La Handa. Battle of La Handa. Okay? Just for you, يعني, if you look it up, you can get lost. So 8 days, this battle lasts. If it starts in 28th of Ramadan, that means what? That means they fight in Eid, during the Eid. Okay? They continue the fight, continue through the Eid, through Eid al-Fitr. Alright? And here, they're facing, while they're fasting, they're facing the armies like storms, 100,000. How much you can fight? Coming from the north at them, and they have to face all these, and they're standing strong and firm. In this battle, all the leaders of the Christians got killed, except one. Okay? His name was Bilal. Bilal. Okay? All of the leaders, all the quwad, of the generals of the Christian army got crushed, got killed. Except this man. He ran away, he went north, and he settled in a very important place. Very important place. This small place, as we will see later, plays very significant role in the fall of Al-Andalus. Okay? He ran away to a place called after him, Sakhrat Bilay. Okay? Sakhrat Bilay. Well, he goes and he starts his own kingdom in the north, called it Astorius. Astorius. Ludrir got killed. Some reports said he fled. He ran away. Okay? He ran away and then later on was killed. But he disappeared from history. After that battle, he completely disappeared from history. So most probably he was killed. In this battle, 3,000 Muslims were killed. 3,000 Muslims. Out of the 12,000, you got 3,000 killed. Okay? Those 3,000, in comparison with the Christians, there are no reports of how many Christians were killed. Okay? But most probably, most of them were killed. Most probably. And I will tell you why. Okay? خلاص, the army gets defeated, they fled. Okay? They run away. Okay, but we will see something unique happen, that it will happen only once after that. Okay? One of the things that out of this whole thing before we move on is the issue of Tariq ibn Ziyad burning the ships. The story. Okay? There's a famous story that when Tariq ibn Ziyad with his ships, his fleet, the marine fleet, crossed the strait to the Andalus. Okay. So now they're on the other side. he ordered that all the ships that transported them to be burned. It's a famous story. Okay? And the reason, and he gave a speech, part of this speech, that he told his soldiers, now the sea behind you, the water behind you, and the enemies in front of you. So, يعني انت ميت ميت. You, 100,000 coming at you. You want to give up now? You're going to drown. Yeah? He burns all the ships and he does that. This story is a lie. Why? First, we are people of Islam. We need to have sanad for this story to verify. There is no sanad for this story whatsoever. Sanad means, some people, out of all those 12,000, 3,000 died, out of the 9,000 left, some people got to have told their families told other people, historians caught it, and reached us. We don't have a chain for it. Second thing, Tariq ibn Ziyad doesn't own these ships. Because many of those ships were borrowed from Julian, Suta or Septa guy. Okay? So he has no right to burn. Third of all, Shara'an, in the deen, you're not allowed to do that. Because there's a chance that you need to come back to get stronger. إِلَّا مُتَحَرِّفًا لِقِتَالٍ أَوْ مُتَحَيِّزًا إِلَى فِيهِ. Sometimes in the battlefield, you have to pull out, so you can, you regroup yourself and come back. Okay? Of course, pulling out as a defeat, that is one of the major sins. فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِسَخَطٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. But to pull out, to get regrouped or this and that, is something could happen. So for a big leader like Tariq ibn Ziyad to take this has decisions, it's not acceptable. Fourth, it's not recorded anywhere in the history books that Walid ibn Abd al-Malik or Musa ibn Nusayr made any comment about it. Something as big as this, and we will see how Musa ibn Nusayr will react to Tariq ibn Ziyad for other stuff, with anger and upset. Something could have been, must have been reported. Most probably one of the things would have happened, as is Tariq ibn Ziyad. To retire Tariq ibn Ziyad from leading an army, to take such a decision. Okay? So all these don't add up. Most probably, this story was made up by European historians. And the only reason such story would be made is because they do not understand how 12,000 people could defeat 100,000. So they had to put it in a way that this Muslim army was desperate and had no other choice but to, they did not understand that Muslims do that regardless. So that is the only explanation for this. And obviously Allah Azza wa Jal says, كَمْ مِنْ فِيَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِيَةٍ كَثِيرَةٍ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ اللهم الصابرين. In the Quran, Baqarah, Allah says, how many small groups defeated huge groups in numbers. Allah with the patient ones. But these huge groups are the believers. After the battle, what happened after the battle? Tariq ibn Ziyad saw that the Muslims are so excited. Their morale is so high. They just defeated the army of Al-Andalus. So he wanted to take advantage. The army of Al-Andalus is scattered. So he wanted to take advantage of that to conquer. Now the order to him was what? Just cross. And obviously we're going to face the first army. You defeat that and you stay. So he was excited, he took the opportunity, and he started conquering. He started conquering Al-Andalus. And another issue is, now Julian on our side. We don't know if he's going to betray us, we don't know if he's going to change his mind, we don't know. So let's take advantage, use him as long as we can. can. So he, rahimahullah, started marching north. Okay? He started marching north. So now we are here, across the battle of Guadalajara or the Wadi Lekka or Wadi Urbaq took place here. The armies are spread, they ran away. Belay ran all the way. You see Zahrat Belay here? Huh? You see? Yeah, and the man, he looked for the furthest point. And he went all the way. Sahra had. Huh? Sahra. This is an important location, as we will see later. Okay? But Muslims start spreading. Now the army is defeated. And most probably they're killed. Okay? And I will tell you why I think they were all killed. Oh, yani, a few live. So he start marching north. He takes over Ishbili. Sevilla. Okay? Sevilla. Okay? So, now the he takes, this is one of the strongest fortresses and cities in Spain, in Andalus. He comes around it, they surrender. The people of Sevilla, Sevilla, they surrender. They agree to pay the jizya. From now, you have people who have no army. Most probably, Rodrigo, when he came down, he was taking the armies of this and that. Huh? So these people, yeah, the Muslims could just go in and destroy and kill everyone, take over. But Muslims don't do that. Because their mission is not destruction. Their mission, is to spread the deen of Allah. So they offered the people Islam, or jizya, or fight. So the people of Shvilia surrenders without a fight. Okay? And they pay the jizya. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نصرت بالرعب مسيرة شهر. Imagine if they're here, and then the news came to them that the 12,000 defeated 100,000. By the time the Muslims are at Ishbilia, they're defeated already mentally. Okay, mentally, they're defeated. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he started marching in Tabuk, going to face the Romans. The Romans were one of the strongest, one of the two strongest empires at that time. They didn't see it. They didn't find him. The Muslims didn't find it, Tabuk. They went and they came to the Tabuk, the area, and the Romans did not show up. So that was when the Prophet ﷺ said one of the things he was given, no one else was given before him, that he will get the victory if he's a month distant away from his army, his enemies. A month, he's a month far, still takes him a month to get to them. They hear about that, they surrender. So the biggest city of the south surrenders to Tariq ibn Ziyad. مسألة الجزية, they agree to pay الجزية or the taxes. Very important to point out, as I said before, الجزية requires that one golden dinar, one golden coin, that a man healthy who's capable of fighting gives to the Muslims in return to be protected. Yeah. Now the people of Ishbilia, they're not Muslims, but they surrender. They pay the tax now. The one dinar. The one coin. Okay? We will see how much the Muslims pays jizya for the Christians later on in the history of Andalus. So now Ishbilia is not Muslims, but they pay the jizya. So if there is an army come from somewhere to attack Ishbilia, the people of Ishbilia don't have to fight. Those who can fight don't have to fight, can stay home. The Muslim army is responsible by defending them for that one dinar. Okay? Now the Christian or the non-Muslim pays jizya one dinar a year. But the Muslims pays 2.5% of his wealth that stays with him for a year or more and reaches in Nisan. Obviously the Muslim, how many Muslims wish if they can pay jizya instead of zakat? One dinar. Okay? If you have 100 dinar extra for a year, you have to give 2.5 dinar. Okay? So very important to understand the point. Those Europeans, those people, Christians here in this region, they never heard something like that. You saw from the letter, the army sent to Ludrik or Rodrigue about the people. We don't know where they're coming from, heavens or earth, because they've never seen something like that. Okay? And you will see the consequence of all that. You will see the result. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من ظلم معاهدا أو كلفه فوق طاقته فوق طاقته فأنا حجيجه. Now the people of Ishbilia, for example, paying the jizya. Now if one Muslim comes and kill one of the people of Ishbilia, so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I will be standing against this person, this Muslim, on the day of judgment. For killing someone, we gave him the promise of protection. That is not like killing your own people, bombing them, and bombing them. Talib ibn Ziyad, after Ishbilia, he goes to a city in this location called Estija. In Spanish, I think Isiha. Okay? Still, now he's gonna try to take over the whole south. Okay? Over the whole south. So he take over this, we said in this area, and it, here, in this area. This is Malaga, Malaga, is that Spanish? Is that the team, Malaga? Malaga Sarai or Galta Sarai? Kullu ghalat. Okay, Malaga, So Estija or Siha is a city in this state of Malaga. Okay, so he takes over that as well, and obviously they give the jizya. Talib ibn Ziyad, after that, how many soldiers he had? 9,000. Well, تلاهمات. So 9,000. So he starts sending expeditions. He start grouping, making his 9,000 into groups, 500, 700, and start spreading them out to conquer the land. So he still, so he sent his sarai. Now listen, he takes over a little mountain, 700 people. Okay? And then he gets Qurtub, 700 people. And Malaga, 700. These are his expeditions. And he get Mercy, Mauritian, he gets them. So very much he takes over the whole south, 9,000 people. Ala Fath Rabbani. Fath Rabbani. Now Talib ibn Ziyad done with the south. He started hitting north. Okay? Where is it? Hey, there's a city somewhere in this area. Okay? It's called Jayan. Hey, this area here. So he, Jayan and what's in Spanish? Jayan. Exactly. Hayin. So now he's moving north. So now he finished with the south, now he start moving. Phil. Alright? So he goes to north and he opens Jayan. It seems that Musa ibn Nusayr, rahimahullah, okay? Musa ibn Nusayr, yalla here. Musa ibn Nusayr told Tariq ibn Ziyad not to cross Jiyan. If you conquer Jiyan, okay, don't go any further. It seems that Musa ibn Nusayr told Tariq ibn Ziyad that. Why would that happen? Because now if he starts moving north, I'll smash him. That's the equation. Alright, so now he started moving north. Okay? What he wants? He wants to lie to him. If Toledo, the capital, falls, usually if you get the capital down, khalas, the whole country is down. So he gets to Jiyan in this area. Huh? Now Musa ibn Nusayr doesn't want him to go beyond, because he could be surrounded by Christians. Now he's going too much north. He doesn't know what's coming from the north. And now the south. Because these cities, if you're opening them, and they're surrendering, but you're not leaving too many people with them. So they can revolt. And that's exactly what happened. Falls. Submit. Surrenders. But we will see, in very short time, it revolt. Because with 9,000 people, you cannot just spread them all over, put 2 here and 3 here and 100 here. People are going to take over. Okay? And that's exactly what happened. So Tariq ibn Ziyad was ordered not to go further before he came. But it seemed that everything falling easily. As we said in Shamal al-Fariq, in the northern Africa, we said Uqba ibn Nafi' radiallahu anhu conquered the whole northern Africa until the Atlantic in few months. But he had there many revolutions. People are coming back and fighting the Muslims again in those areas because he did not settle. And then when Musa ibn Nusayr came, it took him 5 to 6 years to conquer North Africa. Start all over again. To conquer people and leave them, they're going to change their minds. Why are we going to submit to those strangers? So Musa ibn Nusayr will conquer, stay there, teach the people the deen, teach them Islam, people become Muslims, give their wala to the Islam, and then you move to the next, and you use them to move forward. And that's so Tariq ibn Ziyad did the same thing as Uqba ibn Nafi'. He's spreading all over very quick, and people are returning and revolting very quick. But when he saw it's so easy, it's the conqueror, he keeps marching north. Okay? He keeps going north until he reaches Tulaytila. Musa Tariq ibn Ziyad reaches Tulaytila. If he wants to come back, if he wants to leave, there's no way. Okay? But he reaches Tulaytila. Okay? Tulaytila opened his doors. No fight. Opens its doors for Tariq ibn Ziyad. They surrendered. That's why I think the whole army was killed. Where are the people? Those 100,000s, where are they? If you cannot defend, if you run away, where are you going to run? Back to the capital. There were no one to fight. So most probably, Ma'raqat Barbat was Izz al-Islam. 3,000 Muslims killed. Most probably, most of the Christians' army was killed. Regardless, Tulaytila surrenders and opens its doors and pays the jizya. Agrees to pay the jizya. Musa ibn Nusayr at that time got upset. When he heard the news, he got angry. And he sends a letter to Tariq ibn Ziyad commanding him to stay in Tulaytila and not move forward. Okay? Until he comes. Of course, you're going to read in the history that Musa ibn Nusayr ordered or commanded Tariq ibn Ziyad to stop because he was jealous. That's where they're going. That's what they teach us. Because he was jealous that all the pride and all the honor will be in the name of Tariq ibn Ziyad. So that's why he ordered him to quit or to stop. We will see if that was true. So Musa ibn Nusayr tells Tariq ibn Ziyad, stay in Tulaytila here until I come to you. Who will wait? Fitunis. مكه في القيروان. موسى بن نصير settled in القيروان. So Musa ibn Nusayr comes to Tariq ibn Ziyad with an army of 18,000. 18,000 soldiers. When he reaches Al-Andalus, Ishbilia broke the treaty. Remember? It was quick. So when Musa ibn Nusayr reached Ishbilia, he finds that they broke their treaty. So he had to surround the castle or the city for a few months until they submitted again. They surrendered again. Few months. Remember with Tariq ibn Ziyad? Quick. And his army was little. But with 18,000, khalas now they, because most probably they think, since we betrayed them once, now they're going to kill us. Muslims don't do that. Okay? So they surrendered. Yeah, you will see in history, and if we have in the future, if there is al-umur al-baqiyya, if we talk about Salibiyin, Huruf al-Salibiyya, the Crusades, there is, you will see people of no, don't tell me religion. You will be in Al-Andalus. We will see many of those incidents. Actually, toward the end, when we talk about the Spanish Inquisitions, Mahakim al-Taftish, these inquisitions were blessed by the Pope, by the priests, Catholics. We'll talk about that. Allah musta'an. So Musa ibn Nusayr surrounds Ishbilia, Sevilla, for a few months until it surrenders and gives the jizya. Then he continued to go east. Again, same story with Malaqa. And there's Ronda as well, all in the east, and he brings them into Islam. He also, Musa ibn Nusayr, sent his son, Abdul Aziz ibn Musa ibn Nusayr. He sends his son, and he conquers Lisbon, Lisbon, Portugal. Okay? So, conquer of Portugal was at the hand of the son of Musa ibn Nusayr, Abdul Aziz ibn Musa ibn Nusayr. So he conquered the west of Al-Andalus. Musa continues and reaches Tariq ibn Ziyad in Tulaytum. Which year? 94. So it took him 2 years to get there. Okay? So in year 94, Hijri. Now when I say Hijri, now this is our tariq. Inta, you know, you want to know where we stand in the Western calendar at 620. Just add roughly 620 years, you will know. So when we say 94, add 620, so that will be 730. 92, but 94 I'm talking about. Now Musa ibn Nusayr comes 94, so you're at 713. Alright? So Musa ibn Nusayr reaches Tariq ibn Ziyad. Of course there, he killed him. La. And if I'm jealous of someone, and I'm in charge, I'll kill him. And he disobeyed me, I'll call it betrayal. Right? Was very warm, Very blessed meeting. They get together, and now they continue marching in their conquest. With each other. Tariq ibn Ziyad with Musa ibn Nusayr. They start going from Tulaytima, taking over this land. They take over Barcelona. Barcelona. So now Messi on our team. That's all we know about Barcelona. Now we're... So now Barcelona here, in the far northeast, falls for the Muslims. They also take Saragossa, Sarqast, okay, Saragossa, as well as Aragon. Okay. So now this whole region, the northeast, Muslims took over. Ali, they call it the Catalonia. Now even this area, Catalonia, now it's trying to split from Spain. They want independence from Spain. Coming. Okay? So now, very much, the Muslims are on the borders of France. This is France. Okay? So Tariq ibn Ziyad with Musa ibn Nusayr, they take over and they reach France. The mountains, Pyrenees mountains, separate between France and Flanders. Okay? These mountains, there are mountains between the two countries. So Musa ibn Nusayr sends an expedition to that region to check out and look at the area. So the whole Andalus, what happens? Falls under the Muslims in 3 years. So now the Muslims, Abdul Aziz came in the north, Musa in the west, Musa ibn Nusayr took over, made this stable. He goes to Tulaytula, they open the whole north and northeast in 3 years, except Sakhrat Bili. Okay? This area, small area, in Spanish, Covadonga. Okay? Covadonga. Everything falls except this area. Allah Azza wa Jal has his own reasons. His own hikmah. Okay? So now the whole Andalus under the hands of the Muslims. Between 92 Hijri and 95, the Muslims took over the whole or the whole peninsula, if as they called. When they were surrounding, of course, they didn't just leave it. Musa ibn Nusayr and Tariq ibn Ziyad were surrounding Sakhrat Bili, the Covadonga. The order comes from Walid ibn Abdul Malik, Khalifa. Khalifa al-Umawi in Damascus, he sends him, sallallahu alayhi and yuharr Dimashq, he sends a letter to Musa ibn Nusayr and Tariq ibn Ziyad, ordering them to come to Damascus. Stop. Because Al-Walid was so worried that the armies, the Christians were regrouped and attacked. He thought that this was very quick. Okay? And anyway, it's a small area now. So, it's not important. We get it later. Even though Musa ibn Nusayr and Tariq ibn Ziyad surrounded this area for months, they couldn't get it done. These cities used to, they'll build a wall around it. And the reason, one of the reasons, you see, it's on the ocean from the other side. Okay? And mountains. But the ocean, they have supplies. They're not surrounded from one side, but it's open from behind, from the north. So Walid ibn Abdul Malik orders them to come to Damascus. And they had no choice but to respond. Obviously, Musa ibn Nusayr and Tariq ibn Ziyad were very disappointed that they had to leave this area or this city without conquering. And actually, Musa ibn Nusayr was planning after that, to go all the way through Europe to Constantinople. He wanted to go through Spain, then France, then Italy, then Yugoslavia, then Romania, then Bulgaria, then Turkey, Islam. He did not care. So he was very disappointed that he had to go to back to Damascus and leave all that. Now the question. With all this, Musa ibn Nusayr, rahimahullah. How old was he? He was 75 years old. with all this. The man wanted to go through Europe to get to Constantinople, because the Prophet promised that Constantinople, today Istanbul, promised that the Muslims will conquer. 75 years old. هذا رجل يريد الدنيا. This is a man who cares about the dunya. 75 years old. Subhanallah. Today 75 years old. بلعب شيء بشرب شيشة و playing نرشديرة شو اسمه طاولة sitting on the coffee shops all day long playing الله المستعان. Alright, so they go and they reach Damascus. They get to Dimashq. 3 days later, Walid dies. 3 days later, Walid Khalifa dies. And his brother, Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik, takes over. Okay? So Sulaiman had the mentality of his brother, because he was worried. Okay? So he keeps Tariq ibn Ziyad and Musa ibn Nusayr with him in Dimashq. Sulaiman, at this point, from this point on, we don't know anything about Tariq ibn Ziyad. Disappeared. Okay? They said he died in year 102. Okay? 7 years later. But we don't know much about him after that. Sulaiman bin Abd al-Malik decided to go to Hajj in year 97, Hijr. Okay? In year 97, he decides to go to Hajj. Musa ibn Nusayr been busy in jihad and in firing and away, and he had longing to go to Hajj, so he goes with Sulaiman bin Abd al-Malik. On his way there, Musa ibn Nusayr makes dua. He says, Allahumma in kunta turid liya al-haya fa'idni ila ard al-jihad wa amitni ala al-shahad wa in kunta turid ghayra dhalik fa'amitni fi madinati rasulik. Musa ibn Nusayr rahimahullah, they're going to al-hajj. On the way he makes dua. He says, oh Allah, if you're going to give me more life, you're going to allow me to live longer, then let me live fighting fi sabil, and give me the opportunity to die shaheed. And if you want to take my life, then take my life in the city of your Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He dies in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه. This is a man who was truthful with Allah Azza wa Jalla. The man comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They fight. He calls him over. This is for you. From al-ghanam, from the booties of war. This is for you. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I did not come with you for this. He said, why did you come? He said, I came with you for an arrow to hit me here. So I die shaheed fi sabilillah. So the Prophet says, إِن تَصْدُقْ إِلَّهِ تَصْدُقْ. If you're truthful with Allah, Allah will be truthful with you. They continue the fight. They bring the man to the Prophet with the arrow in his neck. He said, هو هو. It's the same man. They said, يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم, صدق الله فصدق الله. He was truthful with Allah. Allah was truthful to him. فَأَنْتَ مَالَ تُرِيدْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. What you want from Allah? What you do in your life? What you want from Allah? You come to the masjid and you pray and you fast and you give sadaqah and you give khutbahs and you give lunch. What you want from Allah? What is your intention? Because you will be rewarded based on that. You work hard, what you want? You live in this dunya, what you want? Have you sat with yourself to say, what I want from Allah? But we are busy just to ask Allah for good living and a house and a wife and money and business and jobs and success. What do we really ask Allah? So Musa ibn Nusayr radiyallahu rahimahullah asked Allah Azza wa Jalla, as we said, and he dies in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the whole, at that point, the whole Andalus was conquered. Was conquered. Except, Qubadungahan. The whole Andalus became under the hands of the Muslims, except the Sakhra, under the Christian. And this era, because you will see the Muslims in Andalus is divided into eras. This era called Ahd al-Fath, the era of conquest. Ahd al-Fath, okay? From year 92 until, from Sha'ban 92 until the end of 95. 3 years. The Muslims conquer the whole Spain, and they reach France.